Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey friends, welcome to Millennial Money, the podcast where I, Shauna Compton Game, get to chat with some super inspiring people who will inspire us all to get up, take back our bank accounts, and chase after the life we want to live. And oh, wow, this is a great episode. Anna is a fellow certified financial planner. In fact, she was named a virtual force by Morningstar. Pretty awesome. And her mission is to teach you that you don't have to be rich to create a roadmap for your money.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
You're already one of our biggest fans of the pod, but I want to invite you to go deeper behind the scenes with me every single month. Get all the scoops on what I'm loving, catch up on popular podcast episodes, and check out a video with a money tip in each monthly email delivered straight to your inbox. Plus, since I'm a big fan of having dessert first, I'm going to send you an exclusive bonus podcast episode, 5 minutes to reset your money mindset when you sign up as an added treat. Head over to mmoneypodcast.com and enter your email address in the box on the homepage to sign up. Again, that's mmoneypodcast.com. I can't wait to see you behind the scenes. One big common misconception is that you have to have a ton of money to start doing cool things with your money, like growing it or giving it a direction. And that just simply isn't true. And I'm not even sure how that started, but I think it needs to go away because it is causing so many people to not want to take action, to not do any steps that are going to help you grow in the direction of the goals you want to achieve because they're just looking at their bank account saying there's nothing in it. If I can share something about myself, some of the best money moves that I have made is when I didn't have a lot of money,
but I knew I needed to be really intentional with the money I did have. And when I did, good things really started to happen because I had this plan in place. So Anna is also working to blow up that myth. As I mentioned, she is a kick-ass certified financial planner, the president and CEO of Main Street Financial Planning, Inc., the nation's largest fee-only, hourly, project-based financial planning business. And even though she became a CFP, she still admits that she made all the possible financial mistakes as a young adult. And her career goal really is to help you understand that you do not need to be rich to start working on your own finances. So I hope you love, love, love this episode. Just a quick note, there were some audio technical difficulties on her side of things. So bear with us, listen to the interview. I promise you're going to get a ton out of this. You are passionate about a lot of the same things that I'm very passionate about. But one of the things is teaching people that they don't have to be rich to create what you call a money roadmap. Before we dive into what that is, I'd like to start out with, what do you think are some of the biggest myths that people believe when it comes to money that really hold them back?
Totally. And I am actually excited that we align in the same passions here. But as far as what's holding people up, and I've been in financial services for the last 15 years and kind of seen a lot. And I think the biggest one for sure is that most people still believe that they need to be rich to start working on creating some kind of a plan, yes, some kind of a strategy for themselves. And they kind of wait and wait and wait and wait. And like, okay, well, one day I'm going to have enough money. And the definition of rich is varies for everyone, but it's like this point where, okay, now I can finally start talking to a professional. But I also think the idea here is that the way that our industry is set up and structured and targeted towards people to have a certain amount of money to be able to work with a qualified financial planner, or there's products that are being sold. So there's, you know, confusing messages there as well. So it's easy to kind of have that idea that, you know, quality financial advice isn't for me. But it's really the opposite, because in order for you to get to that rich point, right, or financial independence, or however you define it, success, right, financial success for you, you've got to start, you know, getting help, because it's complex. You're going to get stuck along the way. And so you're going to get there faster if you had some kind of assistance and help. I think looking into that, what is really holding you back, and why do you think that you've got to have the money in order to work with a professional advisor.
And you make such a good point, because I think everyone, if we asked 10 people or even 100 people, if we lined them up and we asked them what their definition of rich, they would all probably tell us a different number or a different variation of that. And I think that message is really important to share with people, because money is such this isolated experience. And because we don't talk about it, we don't realize that maybe we're all more alike than we are different. But I mean, I think the idea around being rich, particularly with all of the different financial technology apps and tools that are out there, that's definitely changing. Are you seeing that as well?
I am. And it's actually been an interesting ride in my career to see how, even short 15 years ago when I started, we had none of this technology, right? It was really, really still basic. We had the internet access and clients came to see us in our office. Yeah. None of this was like, podcasting wasn't that popular. I think it was just maybe starting to gain ground. So the way that we even interacted with our clients has changed so much. Plus all of these technology tools you're talking about, right, all of this is just enhanced and allowed. This is the point that everybody needs to realize. It allows everyone to actually have access and be able to start working on creating their own financial success, right? Whether it's maybe getting out of the debt or figuring out how much money to save, or just really looking at this money picture from, from all kinds of angles, which is to me exciting, because it just opens up so much opportunity. Look at how we make money these days. All of these side hustles out there. I mean, it didn't exist even 15 years ago, like Uber wasn't there, right? Or you couldn't deliver groceries just to make a few bucks on the side. It's amazing. And I'm actually very excited that I've got to see along the way how it, you know, what changed for my clients, what changed for all of us, right? Because you and I are just like everybody else. We're in the same boat. We're figuring out all of these things, even though we're certified financial planners. So it's an interesting ride for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say that just because I'm a CFP and I have expertise does not make me immune from having, you know, done some of the biggest money mishaps. And I like to share that too, because that message isn't out there that we've all done crazy, silly things that maybe we would regret or change, but you know, we can all learn together. So I want to go back a little bit to this idea of the money roadmap. Tell me a little bit, what is this and how can we create one of these for ourselves?
Yes, totally. Just coming from all of the, you know, all the years that I've created financial plans for clients and really thinking just a little more outside the box, I kind of came up with this idea of what if it wasn't a financial plan? Because for most people, again, still that notion that you can't get one because you don't have a lot of money. No one will work with you. What if it wasn't a financial plan that I was really thinking? What if it was just a map, a roadmap to help you make decisions? And you know what? Like the picture in my mind when I'm thinking about that is, again, thinking back in the day when we just started to be able to use internet for like getting directions. Remember MapQuest? You printed a couple of pages because you wanted to go, you know, somewhere. So I envisioned the same thing for laying out a strategy, right? Or like an outline or a set of instructions. Like if I wanted to achieve this financial goal, how would I do it? And so the idea of the roadmap is to actually help you precisely figure that out. And so I kind of expanded on what we've been doing for our clients. As far as how you can actually get it, we're starting to run an interesting challenge. The first one is launching next month, September 2nd. And it's actually precisely set to help you create your own money roadmap. So you, even if you thought you can't work with a professional, this is something that you can start doing on your own. And the neat part about it is that it doesn't matter whether you're just starting out or you made some progress in your, you know, finances or you've, you know, really accomplished something big, you can always take one more step, right? You can always like level up. You can always improve. And it's a 28-day time frame, 4 weeks. And we dive in, you know, really deep with various topics. The first one of them being mindset. And I love this the behavioral part of our jobs, right? As financial planners. So we gotta really work on that because a lot of notions are still there and people aren't quite, you know, on the right path. We talk about how you, you know, get organized. How do you really have a grip on your spending, and if you're earning extra incomes from various sources. If you have debt, this is a big one. This is, I think, the biggest roadblock or myth out there that just because I have debt, there's nothing else I can do, and I really got to focus on that. Yes, true, but you can be working on a lot of things at the same time. I am big on setting financial goals, like real financial goals, not just, oh, I wish I would have something, right? Or I wish I could retire at age 55. No, it's really precise. It's really targeted with specific numbers, specific dates. And just these are just a few things that we will work over this, you know, 28-day period as you take in this challenge. But it's definitely going to be challenging because it's supposed to be that way. And so once you come out at the other end, you're going to have things that you never thought you could work on because, you know, just because it takes time. But if you put in this time frame and you have financial experts working side by side with you and a really awesome community, a lot of things can change.
For sure, for sure. And I'd love to back up just a little bit. You talked about the mindset, and that's something I talk about a lot on this show because I feel like it's skipped over so much. We want to go straight to like, what are the 10 steps I need to do this or that or whatever it may be without really understanding how we think, act, and feel about money, and then how that then translates into the decisions we're making. So I'd love for you to just talk a little bit, even just from your own expertise or working with clients, like how have you found that mind piece to be so important? Or, you know, have you seen when people change that then, like other things change in their finances?
Most definitely. I really believe that that's the first to address with anyone, whether you're even just looking at what, you know, what kind of questions we've answered for clients or if we worked with them over a number of years. That was always the big piece. And I think it comes down to what are your habits, right? And what are your beliefs about money? Because that's, it's almost like this iOS running in your, in the, you know, in the back of your mind, right? And I always make fun of it. I mean, we try to simplify it, but it's like, okay, well, can you start working on getting an upgrade, right? For your own money scripts that you're running in your head. And I, to give like a few examples, for example, growing up, and this is something that happened in my family, but I didn't have very much background or understanding of how to manage personal finances and what it really meant to me and what I saw growing up in my family. My family immigrated in early 90s to United States. And the idea always was, okay, how can we make enough money to make sure we can survive? That was the goal. And that's all I learned from my parents. And so imagine what that kind of, you know, instilled in my mind. Obviously, right, good work ethics and everything, but that's it, right? I didn't know anything else. And once I got exposed to the world of what happens, you know, once you get your own money, then all those mistakes, right, and troubles came along because I wasn't equipped with the right tools or, you know, I didn't have the right habits. And I believe those things are changeable. You can always work a little bit at a time on, you know, changing those ideas in your head. And so if you've always believed that the only way to success is to work hard, I'm using my own example, then that's, you know, you can work hard, but is it really going to get you far, right? And so I think looking deep inside, and seeing what is it that you, why are you doing certain things a certain way? Or why, for example, some people don't like to have debt, right? Or they view that as a bad and evil kind of thing versus others. I mean, look at it from the opportunity standpoint. Can I make more money? Can I leverage, right? Can I use other people's resources, to help me get there? So that's the angle that we like to explore with clients and see what is it that's holding them back. Because if we don't address that at the beginning, there isn't any kind of really advice that's going to make a difference. Because if you're stuck, like at one point, you aren't going to jump over. And the only way is to work through it.
Yeah, that's human nature, right? All of us, like, we get to those stuck points and we don't always want to do the kind of necessary work that we need to do to really not just unstick us in this particular instance, but to really change that habit or that pattern. And I think just as humans, we don't like to do that. And so I think, you know, like really being able to nurture people around that is so important.
Yes, exactly. And I think it goes, you know, because when we create financial plans or call them roadmaps or financial strategy, any names you want to have for this, really to help you achieve the financial success, it goes around not just your own habits, but those around you as well, right? And the kinds of messages you sending and issues, for example, couples have with finances, because you really got to understand where somebody's coming from. And a lot of times it's so, you can't even control it. It's so automatic that it's just astonishing to me to see that. But if you become aware and you really start focusing on those things, and there's a lot of different tools that you can use to, you know, to get comfortable, right? Or to start making decisions that are not working against you. It's a very freeing kind of point once you get there and you start looking back and say, oh my gosh, I've really made progress. And I think on another angle here, a lot of times people can't make progress, right? Because of those beliefs or those habits, and they just sort of stuck in that little, you know, red race per se, trying to get out.
Right. I've definitely been in one or two of those myself over my lifetime. We'll jump back into the episode after an Ask Shauna that comes from Pam. And Pam says, hi, Shauna. Thanks for taking time to answer my question. I'm in my early 30s and I'm thinking about making the switch from full-time to self-employed. I've tested my market and I'm pretty sure I've got a good idea and that I can get clients. Would love to tell you my idea, but I'm keeping it a secret for a bit longer. Anyway, I'm curious, how much money would you suggest I have saved as a backup to ease my transition? Is there a specific number or any guidance you can give? By the way, I totally appreciate your podcast and love all your entrepreneurial stories. I feel like you don't just preach, you have also walked the walk. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Well, first off, Pam, thanks for the compliment. Just trying to be honest and share what I know about being an entrepreneur since it has been my entire career except a really brief stint. And it's a really brief, probably 3 or 4 year stint that I worked for a company. And I tell people now that I am allergic to fluorescent lights, which of course I'm not allergic to fluorescent lights, but I just don't like the idea of sitting in an office and being in one place. My brain is all over the place and I like having lots of projects. So that's what works for me, doesn't work for everybody. So I think it's really important first for you to figure out, A, if you're the type of person that can handle the entrepreneur life, because it's not easy. There are a lot of pluses. Sure, I get to travel whenever I want, and I can go to doctor's appointments, and I can take a nap if I need to. And there are lots of reasons why it's great. I mean, for me, I love the unlimited income potential that I can literally make as much money as I try to make. It doesn't always work out that way. But there are downsides, of course, too. I'm responsible for my own retirement and got to pay taxes, got to keep track of all my business expenses, constantly fighting for opportunities. There are a lot of things that I fail at or a lot of things where I'm up for a big project and the company says no. I mean, there's a lot that you have to be able to stomach, and it's not for everyone. But if it is for you, I think it's a great opportunity to really change things up for yourself. So I'm a big fan of saying, look, if there is some way that you can save up 9 to 12 months of your must-pay expenses before you quit your job, that's going to put you in a really good scenario, because understand that the first year in business will likely be a loss. Not always, but most of the time, you're adjusting to the new expenses. Maybe you go a little crazy with spending extra money or taking time off, things like that. But usually the first year, maybe even the first couple of years, can be a little bit rocky. So having 9 to 12 months worth of expenses saved, it just gives you a place to not relax, but to feel a little bit like you can handle the ups and downs that come with the first year because you have enough money to cover those expenses. Of course, the closer you get to the end of that time period is really when you need to figure out, is this working or is this not working? Another thing, I always put my work savings in a high yield savings account, something like a Marcus or an Ally account. Make sure that you're earning interest on that money. Even if it feels like a small amount of money, it's more money than you had if you just put it in your bank account or you put it in your bank savings account that is not paying you any interest. Another idea is to use a program like FreshBooks. That's what I use, or QuickBooks is also great to manage your expenses. So you're really going to want to stay up on not only your personal expenses, but your business expenses. And I found that business expenses, particularly in the first couple of years, that's where things can get a little wonky. So you really want to make sure you stay on top of that. You're looking at those each week so you can manage, okay, I think I'm going to get this much money this month against this is the amount of expenses I'm going to have. Lastly, I would just say be nimble. Be able to switch up your idea if it isn't resonating with your customers. And so many people get stuck in like, this is my idea. This is what I want to do with my business. I am not changing. But a lot of times the customers are saying, we don't want that variation. We want this variation. And so you really need to be nimble and flexible and be able to change things up. That's certainly something that's been very advantageous to me in my career is I've had to shift a lot different times or for different projects. And so just being able to do that, I think, is going to be a really big asset for you. I want to mention one more thing as well. I watched a great course on Creative Live. I don't know if you guys are fans of Creative Live, but they have some really awesome online classes. And I watched one called Build a Standout Business. It was incredible. It was really amazing, helped refine ideal clients, refine your messaging, refine your branding, create a business plan, all of that good stuff. It was only $79. And seriously, I think this course was at least worth $1,000. That's what I would have paid. So if you're looking for something to really brush up, make sure your business plan is super solid, I would highly suggest it. I'll put a link in the show notes as well so you can click on over. I get absolutely nothing for recommending this course, except I just recently went through it and I was so blown away with how amazing it is. So long story short, Pam, I think just focusing on saving as much money as you can, because you don't know, even though you think you have a good idea and you think you have customers, until you actually have those customers and they're actually paying you money, everything is just in theory.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. You know that business idea that you've had that is lurking in your head? I think it's time you breathe some life into it and make it a reality. Take it from me, someone who's been creating business ideas for over 20 years now. For me, it all starts with a name. What are you going to call your new business idea or company? Once you've got a stellar name in mind, head quickly over to Bluehost.com to register your URL and set up your website hosting before someone else snags your amazing name. I have over 25 URLs registered on Bluehost, just in case I want to use them in the future. And what I love about Bluehost is how affordable it is to register your domain and get your website up and running fast. With my special URL, bit.ly/BlueHostMoney, you can register your domain name and set up hosting for your website all for only $3.95 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee to start building your business empire. Again, head on over to bit.ly/BlueHostMoney to get this special offer.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
I'm super curious, though, coming from a different country and seeing, you know, America, I guess, from a different view than those of us that were born here. Have you seen, I guess this is kind of an opinion thing, but, you know, what were those sort of first impressions you had about, you know, Americans and how we deal with money? I'd be curious if you had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, interesting question. Well, I was a teenager, I was 15, so I wasn't really, you know, a young kid, but not quite an adult yet. The first impression I had, and again, I was thinking about this, you know, looking back at all what happened in my life, still that notion that, you know, when I saw how hard my parents worked to provide for my brother and I, and when I looked around, I was just amazed to see how many opportunities you know, there are here in this country to earn money. And one of the things that I really wanted to, once I turned 16 and I could drive, I wanted to get a job, and I did. And even though I could get, you know, $5.25 an hour, that was amazing amount of, like, it was huge amount of money for me, because it was just exciting. And so where I came from, that didn't exist. And I think that really shaped the ideas in my head, right? Growing up as a teenager here until I really, you know, graduated from college and had a real job, that anything was possible. And that's still, I remember those days, right? And it's just, I think it really changed of how I looked at finances. Of course, I had no skills. I didn't know what to do with that money, but I just knew I wanted to have it because I could buy things that I didn't have, right? Or my parents wouldn't get for me.
I love that perspective, because I think we lose it often, the opportunities that we have. And sometimes even when we find ourselves stuck or we're feeling limited by the salary we're making, it's reconnecting to that idea that there are lots of different opportunities. It may mean stepping out in a different way, but we're not necessarily stuck where we're at. So I love that perspective.
Oh, totally. And I think that also sort of laid the foundation for me that one day, and I had no idea that, you know, by age 30, I could actually own my own business, right? Because that maybe those practices or those, you know, experiences that I had as a teenager, right? And kind of the sort of ingrained in my mind that, okay, I don't have to be stuck. I don't have to do it a certain way. I want to do it my way, and I want to do it differently. So that allowed me to, you know, not only excel as a financial planner working with clients, but also as, you know, as a business owner and just in my career as well.
Yeah. So what then led you to a career in personal finance?
Yeah, it was really actually not a straight shot. I think you probably know, but in our profession isn't still quite recognized as something that, like, kids will say, oh my gosh, I want to grow up, I want to be a financial planner. I had no idea. Like, I really zero clue of what that was. But the one thing I really always wanted was to work with people. And then so my path on you know, to do that was really pretty straightforward. You become a doctor, and that's kind of what I had in mind. And halfway in college, I actually switched majors from taking all the biology and chemistry classes to business, because the building next door where, you know, all my classes were in sophomore year was, you know, business school. And I was just fascinated by it. It was just something that I didn't even have exposure, and I thought,
love that.
I could be a businesswoman, right? So those ideas were kind of swirling in my head. And I did switch, and I had to pick a concentration track. So it was finance. It was corporate finance. And once I graduated with that degree, it was a really big decision point where I'm like, well, what do I do with this degree? Like, what's the path for me? Like, there's a set career, right? Like, with becoming a doctor, you know exactly what you're going to do. The kind of job is going to be there for you. With what I had was just a sort of a world with opportunities. And I had a chance to, or I had to have an internship in order to graduate. And that's kind of how I got exposed to the world of financial services. But that was really more on the investment side. I worked for a brokerage house. And so that was like real hardcore selling stocks, selling bonds, which was a great experience, but I learned pretty quickly that wasn't for me. Like, I didn't enjoy that piece. And doing a little bit of research, I found I found or learned more that this there was, you know, that there was this whole other world over here from, you know, extension from, you know, investments into the personal finance. And that's kind of how I started and getting, you know, involved with taking classes. And so it sort of picked up from there. Pretty much all my career has been in financial services, but more or less it's been focused really heavily on financial planning.
Right. Yeah. And I know even as a woman in financial planning, there's not a lot of us, we'll say. there's not a lot of us that are under, let's just say, the age of 50. And it's a really interesting career path, dynamic. I mean, there's lots of different ways you could go with a financial planning expertise, let alone just having the knowledge yourself. But, you know, what do you see on the horizon for women in this career? What if somebody's listening and they're thinking about a career in this? What would you tell them?
I think if I could, I would just stand on the top of my roof here in my building. It's only two stories tall, but I would still do it. I really am passionate about having more women understand that, you know, a career in financial services, you don't have to be a certified financial planner, but it's an awesome, awesome experience. And really, I think it's an honor to be one, right? It takes a while, but it creates this, this idea that, you know, women can and should be advisors, right? Or financial planners, and they're actually innately good at it. It's just our kind of nature, that, you know, that God has given us, right? To take care of other people. And because money is such a sensitive topic, I think women do much better. No offense to guys, but women do a much better job on that front. And if those of you who are listening out there, you need to explore, you know, what opportunities are there. And interesting enough, these days there's actually, you can get the sort of the CFP designation while you're in college. It didn't exist when I was getting started. So it's even better. You can graduate with a degree, I think, in financial planning.
Yes.
And have the, I'm pretty sure it's, I know that you can take all the courses and then take the actual exam later. But it provides, first of all, it provides, you know, you an opportunity as, you know, as a woman to use the skills that are really innate to you. It also is a great career track. There's lots of flexibility. And I can speak to that, not just being, you know, my own boss these days, but I also have a 7.5 months old son. And so I was, you know, that just wanting to have a family and career and a business, all of it is possible. And it's the other neat part of this too, is that the people and the clients that you get to work with, that you can't replace. The lives that you change, the relationships you create. I'm sure you could do that in other professions, but I don't know any different. So I'm a little biased towards this side of you know, how you actually can help people.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So much good information there. And I think it's kind of like this secret almost, because when you have if you're a certified financial planner, you have some sort of financial planning expertise, there's so many different ways you can use that. I mean, we just think of maybe one or two ways, but that knowledge and those skills can go in so many different businesses, let alone if you just start your own business, but you have that background and expertise, it can really be quite transformative for your entire career.
Oh, totally. I think the one understanding that I think listeners should have, just because you're certified financial planner, you don't necessarily have to be working in that role. For the most important piece, make sure your own household finances are in order, if anything, right? Because that's the kind of the starting ground. And then just, there's lots of different ways of how you can utilize those skills. I really had a traditional career path just because that's the model I saw. And it's been great. It's been great for sure. But I've been really striving out there to find other ways to not necessarily just, okay, I'm just an advisor and that's all I do. There's other ways how I can share what I like to talk about, which is all of these topics, right, we're discussing today in different format. Press plus the technology these days, all of this is really, really, really enhancing that.
Yeah, I definitely love it. Well, I want to talk to you about something else. I know you host a show on Facebook called The Money Date Show. I've talked a lot about money dates on this podcast. Probably people are tired of hearing me talk about it, but it's, I think, so important to just check in on what's going on with your money, because that's how you spot trends and patterns. You can make changes, all sorts of amazing things. But I'd love for you to just dissect a little bit. Why should we have these money dates? And I guess, how do we even do these?
Yes, good question. And I, like you, have been preaching this idea of dating your money, right? Because everybody gets excited when they kind of hear a word date, and it's it's supposed to be fun and sure. So I thought to myself, well, I had to have conversations with my spouse, right, with my significant other. And if the dates were things that we're really excited about, I wanted to insert the word money and just to kind of slip that in and maybe have a conversation. But in our family, it really is simple. And over time, we wanted to have consistency to our discussions. And we still continue doing this. Actually, just yesterday was one of our weekly money date. We do it on a weekly basis. But we really chat about a couple of things that keep us focused on what's important and what's important to us. But I also believe these things should be on the radar for everyone. And that's really what I cover or, remind my listeners on our Money Date shows every Wednesday to focus on. So here are the things that you and I discussed yesterday. The first one, to make sure that we stay, on the top of our expenses. We're not, we're not budget people. Like, that's another interesting part about, own practice. Even though I'm a certified financial planner, I don't really budget, but I do have a really good grip on what our expenses are. We use Mint.com, and there are a ton of other apps. I'm not advocating for one or the other. This is what worked for me over the years, but because it just gives us a real-time picture, right, where the money has been spent, how it's all sort of, from the debit card, from the credit card. So I really have a good idea of what our expenses are for the week. And I've really practiced this over the years, and found that weekly chats are much better than waiting until the end of the month. So much better, because you can catch things, somewhere along the way. You can plan better, and it does not take enormous amount of time at all. It's really just a conversation, because I can whip out my phone and have an idea right away, right? Open up my app and I look at things. Because my husband and I are both business owners and we are on the variable income, we really have to kind of be on the lookout for what's going on, right? And weekly conversation about that too. So what is our income looking like? Are we going to really make it this month, right? Can we pay ourselves a salary, right? If we can't, then what do we do, right? And I have a structure for that too. For example, many of your listeners probably have heard this from you, but I'm a new blood, so I'm allowed, I think, to talk about emergency fund, right? Like, how healthy is your emergency fund in order for you to, withhold, whether it's variable income you're on or it's some kind of a thing that comes up in your life. Maybe you had a car accident or the roof leaked and you need to come up with extra money. So I'm big on that, right? If we have to tap into our emergency reserves. And then the third piece is really remind ourselves, are we staying on track with our financial goals? And what I mean by that, it's not only because our savings are set up on automatic basis, right? Everything goes into certain account. It's all configured. Even though if we may not have a great month as far as our income goes, right? Or, for example, it's not even not having a great month. Sometimes for my husband, because he's on commissions and works in real estate, it takes a while to get paid. We still need to adjust and make sure that our savings are staying consistent, right? So, but that's more automatic than anything. We don't really have to discuss that too much. But what we really do have to discuss is revisit and talk about whether we're still interested, right? And still as passionate about our financial goals, or are we going to make any adjustments, right? And that's been really powerful for both of us. And something else that we've adopted over the years, but these are more personal practices. Each of us writes our own personal goals every day. And so he has things that he's focusing on. It's not just about finances, whatever, personal, physical goals and things like that. And so when you're kind of doing that, right, you're sort of a little bit in isolation because you're focusing on you, right, and your own things you want to do. But if you have that conversation once a week, right, with your significant other, it helps you reset. And it's really, really doesn't take that much time. It's more about doing it consistent basis. And the other part of the money date show, it's really because I love all kinds of financial planning topics, right, or money topics. I just thought that if I can remind everyone to do these things, and I'm sort of like a broken clock, but it helps, I hope, because it helps me to be centered. And then I can just talk about an interesting topic for that week. Hopefully that brings more value to folks, because we know that financial literacy isn't at the top in this country.
No.
So we need to work on that too.
Yes. We need all hands on deck for that one.
That's right.
Well, Anna, this has been so fantastic. So much great information. I'd love for you to tell listeners where they can find you, connect with you, and where they need to go if they want to sign up for the Money Roadmap Challenge.
Totally. Well, Money Roadmap Challenge is moneyroadmapchallenge.com. The first round starts September 2nd. So if you're interested in doing it in September, sign up for that. I'm on social media. We have Main Street Planning Inc. Website or page on Facebook. And you can also find me on Instagram. And my handle is Anna8, and my last name, Sergunina, Sergunina.
Wow. I can just really relate to Anna's story. And I love that she admits to making all the money mistakes. You know, I'm honest with you, and I'm more than happy to admit that I have done the same, and that most people have, if they're going to be honest. That's why I really believe in this idea of creating a money roadmap, because you just can't go wrong. It's like if I was trying to drive from LA to New York and I didn't have GPS or I didn't have a roadmap, how in the world would I know where I'm going? I wouldn't. I might eventually get to New York, but it would take me twice as long, if not more. So the same thing with your money. You need to give it direction. Thanks so much for checking out this episode. If you love what you heard, please, please, please head on over to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review for the podcast. It's one of the best ways to show some love for us, and it's how we get more Millennial Money listeners to tune into the show. I'll see you back here on Tuesday for a new episode.